W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. The head of Maui's emergency management is defending his decision not to activate warning sirens for wildfires. CBS's Jonathan Vigliotti asked him,
do you regret not sounding the sirens?
I do not.
He was fired over it, and now wildfires have killed 111 people and reduced the island to ashes. Governor Josh Green.
I can tell you it's going to be a long and costly recovery. But much of that work will be done here with our local people. That's going to be another priority for us, using local contractors to the best of our ability so that people who need jobs can get them.
Storms are causing damage in North Carolina.
Schools are closed in Durham for a second straight day as tens of thousands remain without power after strong storms Tuesday.
It's miserable. I'm missing my electric right now, and we do not know how long before it comes on.
A 78-year-old woman was killed when a tree fell on her SUV. There was widespread damage across the Raleigh-Durham area. Jim Crisula, CBS News, Greensboro, North Carolina.
California is bracing for Tropical Storm Hillary. It's strengthening off the coast of Mexico now, and forecasters say it could become a major hurricane by later tonight. In L.A., there's a new task force to tackle flash mob robberies. Mayor Karen Bass.
To Angelenos, our message is clear. Those who commit these crimes will be caught. They will be held accountable, and we will work to address this issue.
Thieves are stealing hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of stuff from malls. Former President Trump's allies on Capitol Hill are pushing back on potential prison time ahead of any upcoming trials. CBS's Scott McFarlane.
Congress calls it the power of the purse. Several Trump allies are now supporting bills to strip federal funding from special counsel Jack Smith, including from Jack Smith's paycheck. Democrats blast the plan, saying they're doomed to fail and that they are nakedly partisan. But a third proposal to add this language to congressional spending bills under negotiation could derail fragile talks to avert a shutdown.
Plea deals may be in the works now for the masterminds of 9/11.
The deals could mean they never face the death penalty, but the cases of Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and four others have been held up for years. One of the issues has been their interrogation under torture. The families of 9/11 victims have been notified the talks are underway, but even still, no deal may ever be reached. All four were sent to Guantanamo in 2006.
That is CBS's Cammie McCormick reporting. The spotted lantern fly could go after vineyards. Brian Eschenar is an insect expert at Cornell.
They don't like to stay in just one plant. They have a broad palate and they can feed on over 100 different plant species.
Growers don't want to use too many pesticides either. This is CBS News.
Staples stores provide innovative products and services for small business, remote workers and learners, even teachers and parents. Explore more at your local Staples store.
Imagine buying a pair of sneakers and getting a soothing, gentle foot massage like you'd get during a relaxing pedicure just by walking. Skechers new Massage Fit sneakers. Because Skechers, the comfort technology company, has designed a unique innovation that makes it feel like you're pampering your feet with a gentle massage in every step. The secret is Skechers new patented wave technology on the sole that gently massages your feet while you're walking around. Find them for men and women at a Skechers store, Skechers.com, or wherever stylish footwear is sold.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
For WFHR and WIRI, I'm Melissa Kay. Following is a list of upcoming meetings in the listening area for Friday, August 18th. The City of Wisconsin Rapids Police and Fire Commission will meet at 7:30 a.m. in the first floor conference room at City Hall. The Wood County Unit of the Wisconsin Towns Association will meet at 7 p.m. at St. John's Lutheran Church Fellowship Hall in Auburndale. There's a lunch at 6:30 preceding the meeting. There will be speakers, Roland Hawk, the Wood County Highway Commissioner, and Jason Gruenberg, the Wood County Planning and Zoning Director. They will be discussing utility permitting and placement of the road right-of-way. The United Way Stuff the Desk pickup begins tomorrow at the former East Junior High School on 311 Lincoln Street. Parents and caregivers who pre-registered will have received a postcard with your time slot to pick up supplies on the 18th and 19th. Call 211 if you have questions or did not receive your postcard. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI, Civic Media News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Lows level off around 49. Tonight, under mainly clear skies, northwest winds, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Mainly sunny skies and calm again. Tomorrow, high temperatures reach up to 78. Mainly clear. Tomorrow night, 59. Dry with temperatures a bit above average. Saturday and Sunday, and highs from the upper 80s to the low 90s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 63.
Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this August 17th, 2023. I have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. At 3:30, we're going to welcome in our friend Jackie Carantini. She's going to be talking to us from UW-Madison about purpose and organization. Right now in studio, we have Lisa and Jillian from Visit Rome. Thank you both so much for being here today. Appreciate the time. We want to send a special shout-out to Nakusa Port Edward State Bank for sponsoring this segment. Appreciate our friends over there. How have you both been?
Busy. But good, definitely.
Yeah, I can imagine. I can imagine. Yeah. Lisa, how you doing?
Yeah, doing very good.
Good,
enjoying
good.
The end of summer here, those dog days of summer.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. And we are going to go out summer with a bang. We've got so much fun stuff. I was previewing and looking ahead and everything. We got a lot to talk about. Let's dive right into it. Kicks off today.
Yeah, so from 6 to 9 p.m. tonight, there will be live music at Greenfire Barbecue at Sand Valley. It's their newest kind of restaurant.
Yeah,
very
I
casual.
Yeah.
They actually have performances every Monday and Thursday. So Rome is pretty much the hot spot for live mm-hmm, music. Mm-hmm. This is no exception to that.
Yeah.
So we encourage you to come on out to Sand Valley and enjoy.
You've got that going on. You also have some other live music going on today.
Yeah, so this time from 5 to 8 p.m. at Lake Arrowhead, they have Tunes on the Turn. Once again, live local artists every Thursday. Big crowd.
Yeah,
definitely draws in a lot of people, which is a good thing.
One of the go-tos for anybody in this area is live music.
Yeah.
It just seems like people always show up for that. Yeah, you doesn't matter where you're putting it on, who's performing, people show up for live music. They just love it. And when you got great bands like these couple of acts, and it's a fun time. Mm-hmm. That's going to be a blast.
Especially outdoors.
Yes.
And it's been the greatest summer season.
It really
beautiful evenings.
I'm glad you said that, Lisa, because it has seemed like that to me. Like, I've taken a lot of music this summer, and it feels like it just every day has been a nice, every time there's been music, it's a nice day. It's a good atmosphere. Mm-hmm. We've got more good stuff coming up on Friday and every Friday going forward for a little while here.
Yeah, just for a little while. We have the Rome Farmers Market from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. in the Rome Town Center Square Business Park. A lot of names, still same place.
Yeah.
Join us once again for live music, food vendors, crafts, produce, and just a lot of great local goodies.
Mm-hmm. Today in Rapids, this morning, we had the Wisconsin Rapids Farmers Market going on. If you're familiar with that, some of those same vendors are at the Rome Farmers Market. So mm-hmm. get a little of that. You also get some new vendors, some different vendors that you might not get everywhere else.
Yeah.
Anytime there's a farmers market, I don't care where it's going on, check it out. You're going to find things that you like. You're also going to be supporting our local vendors, our local ag industry. And that's always a good thing. A draft on-road bike ride coming up Friday, this Friday.
Yeah, 6 to 8 p.m. It'll be a casual 12 to 15-mile bike ride, so no Tour de France here.
Yeah.
meet at the Rome Town Center gazebo at 6, and we will depart from there.
Yeah, can people find out more about this as far as any like if you need to register or anything like that for this one?
You do not need to register ahead of time. I would suggest either looking at our website, visitromewi.com, or if you are one of the Facebook people, mm-hmm. check out Draft, D-R-A-F-T, Discover Rome Area Family Trails, mm-hmm. and they often have a little more info when it comes to these rides.
That's where I found the info. Well, okay. Nice done. Nicely done, Jillian. Because when I was looking into it, I know how many of our enthusiasts and bike enthusiasts we've got in this area, and it looked new to me. I hadn't seen this before, so looking into it a little bit more. I think that if it isn't already popular, it will be as the time goes on, because mm-hmm. people love events like this. Just got to get it out there. Just got to let them know. It's going to be a fun one. Another great event going on this weekend, and one of my favorite events going on this weekend, I should journalistically mention, Camelot Frolics. Frolics. Yep. I'm sorry, Frolics. I turned it into something it wasn't. Camelot Frolics is a great... I'll fix it in the editing. This is a big event. This is fun one that's been going on for a long time, Lisa.
Yeah, it's a huge annual summer celebration at Lake Camelot. Starting off on Friday with live music from 7:30 to 11. Saturday, just loaded with activities, including a bass fishing tournament, horseshoes, volleyball, cornhole tournaments, kids games. There's going to be a craft corner, a silent auction. The Shermerlot Ski Show will be there at 4:30. That will be in lieu of their show on Lake Arrowhead, so they will be at Lake Camelot this Saturday at 4:30. And of course, food, live music, and then ending the night with fireworks at dusk.
I don't know if it was called this when I was a kid and we went to it. It may have been just kind of building, or I'm not sure. But I do remember taking this event in as a kid. And as a young kid that wanted to be an actor and all these things, like, I was blown away by this. It was such a fun time. And the area itself is so good at promoting and having events like this. I'm biased. I learned to swim in Lake Camelot. I learned to drive a boat in that lake. I love that area so much. But this, to me, encompasses and really brings out the vibe, the wonderful essence of that area. It's a fun event. Check it out, everybody. Again, starts at 7:30 and goes on all weekend, Friday and Saturday, I should say, throughout the weekend, the Camelot Frolics. More live music coming up. Our live music, I'm sorry, today on this Friday from 7:30 to 11 is that a part of the Camelot Frolics? Yeah. So that's a fun time. Yeah. Gotta enjoy that. Saturday is where I wanted to go. For Saturday, the bass fishing tournament, wanted to make sure that people knew that goes from 6 to 11 this weekend. That is going to be fun. And again, fireworks at dusk, just a great event. Let me see. Where are we going next? We got, the water ski show. Is that part of things this week? No, Saturday, August 26th. That's coming up.
Yeah, it is. So, I mean, there is a water ski show on that 19th. Yeah, a little confusing.
That's on me. I just wanted to promote that event so much that I got stuck on the event. But we do have another separate water ski show tournament coming up on August 26th. Or not tournament, show.
Yes, the show, 6:30 to 7:30 p.m., this time at the Lake Arrowhead Dam. Just watch our Shermerlot water ski team perform. They always put on a really good performance.
It usually happens around this time of year. Is this their final performance of the year? I think it might be, or it's one of the last for sure.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure either. I'm going to say this is last or second to last.
Either way, you're not going to have many more opportunities to take in these incredibly talented people and see in a great show like this. I love water ski shows. So this is one of those kind of fun events that we get to do. It's great to have the water ski show tournament in town and having that event, but this is an opportunity to focus just on our local team and really give them some love, some appreciation.
Yeah.
Saturday, August 26th, more great live music.
Yeah, so at Hoozles at the Lakes, they will have dueling pianos from 7 p.m. to 11 p.m.
It's a fun one. Yes. Have you guys ever seen dueling pianos?
I have.
Oh, it's so good. It's so good. It really is dueling pianos. Mm-hmm. You think about dueling banjos, it's a very similar thing, just like a concert version of it. It's not just one song. It's kind of like extended. And very talented people. Very talented. So coming up, we're already looking at September, y'all.
Yeah,
we're already there. We're
wild.
August, what happened to you? September, wonderful craft show coming up.
Yeah, Saturday, September 2nd. So the Labor Day weekend is the Lake Arrowhead. I would say it's an arts and craft show. There's over 100 displays of unique and quality merchandise inside and outside of the clubhouse. Food, beverages, and my favorite, the great Bloody Mary bar.
Yes. That has to be brought up. We don't want to bury the lead here. In all seriousness, every one of these shows that we have where we're talking about vendors and we're able to support vendors, as these summer days end and wrap up, some vendors this is their last days. These are the last opportunities for them to make funds in that. We are chanting championing that, and we want to support our local vendors. This is a great opportunity to. We know how much of a craft area we have in the central Wisconsin. People love their crafts. It's a great opportunity to not only do that, but getting birthdays out of the way. I know that's something I like to do. My mother will only accept gifts from like craft stores and things. So while her birthday's next month, I got her gift like months ago. Just to get this, like, I got that one taken care of, you know, that kind of thing. It's a great opportunity for that. We love knickknacks. You're picking that kind of thing up and so many other things. You don't know unless you go check it out. Yeah. Check out the Lake Arrowhead Craft Shows going on Saturday, September 2nd. Free Harvest Fair coming up.
Yeah, I just wanted to give a plug to the Historic Point Bass organization. They're located in Nakusa. Just have some really unique celebrations and activities going on. So this is just to celebrate the joy of fall with a fun-filled event that promises to leave your taste buds tingling. They'll have delicious fall fare with traditional harvest activities like apple cider pressing, corn shelling. They're going to be making sauerkraut, and then there's going to be sales of different types of produce.
Some of our favorite people to talk to, the gang over at Historic Point Bass. Mike Hittner joins us at least once a month. And honestly, I could talk to Mike for days. Days I could talk to that man. I love talking with him. They are keeping history alive. Mm-hmm. They are doing some important work over there where so much of our history can get lost in the shuffle when it comes to things that isn't in textbooks or maybe all over social media or online or something for you. There's certain things you got to put your hands in the dirt. You got to be involved in. You got to get over there and check it out and see it and experience it for yourself. Smell that area. Feel that area. It is history. It is our history, our Midwest collective history. And if you're a local, it's your personal history. I would take pride in that. And here's an opportunity not only to take that in, but to help them keep doing that great work over there, supporting these events and certainly volunteering if you can. Could always use some young blood over there at the Historic Point right. Boss, as Mike likes to remind us and everything. We don't want to be making Mike do this in his hundreds, you know, and stuff. So let's get some young people over there and support what they're doing. HistoricPointBoss.com. You can find out more information. HistoricPointBoss.com. Thanks for taking the time to do that, you guys. Yeah. Thank you for doing that. Yeah. That's really cool. Coming up on September 13th, another great event.
Yes, the Rome Garden Club will be hosting their monthly meeting. They normally have them at the Rome Library or Leicester Public Library of Rome. Mm-hmm. This month's meeting is focused on collecting seeds, saving them, winter sowing, and recognizing when those seeds are ready to collect or be planted in the spring. So as we're kind of reaching the end of harvest season, we want to kind of plan ahead to the next one.
It's we know how many gardeners and how many different people we have that like to get their hands in the dirt around here. This is a nice event to be able to do that and put some planning. One thing I've learned, because I have like a black thumb. I know nothing about gardening. But I have learned from talking with a number of people that we have on the show here, this is a planning thing. This is something where you get these seeds and it helps you plan this out a little bit better, or something to look forward to even as we're wrapping up here. And some of this stuff you can plant. So find out more.
Yeah.
Check it out. Campfire Cooking Workshop at Historic Point Bass. It's one of my favorite events that they do. It's a really cool idea and a really good fundraiser.
Yeah, this is a really unique event happening Saturday, September 16th from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. The workshop, it really focuses on cooking methods and foods used by our ancestors. It's conducted by volunteer staff with assistance from others who have experience in this type of cooking.
They don't have a ton of fundraisers over there. They don't have a ton of opportunities to do this kind of stuff. So that alone, I hope, gets people's attention and makes them want to come. But something like this too, they oftentimes will have like different foods, you know, that you don't find everywhere. There's some of our best chefs and cookers working on this. You've got also a great community event that One of the things I've noticed being on the board at the Family Center, I love the events we do and I like the things that are going on. But one of the things that means so much to me is seeing people that I didn't know. Oh, you back what we're doing. Oh, you support what we're doing here. This is a very similar thing with Historic Point Boss, where you show up at these events and you're saying, oh, another like-minded person, another person who's trying to keep history alive, or another person who likes trying these different kinds of foods or anything. It's a fun event. Be sure to show up for that Saturday, September 16th, Campfire Cooking Workshop at Historic Point Boss. I want to get to some other happenings, if you don't mind, and then if we have some time, I'd love to get into the Free Culinary Foundation certificates. That's available. Let's start with what's happening. What else is going on in the Rome area?
Yeah.
The avocados opening?
The big big news is that Avocados opened a location in Rome. I think they opened last Monday.
I thought it was last Monday. That's what I think that's what it was.
So very new. They do have a location outside of Rapids. So it's the same food, same mm-hmm. menu, a lot of the same staff. I've already been there. Mm-hmm. The food is wonderful. Service is wonderful. So come and support Avocados location in Rome.
Yeah. Great to have a lot of these businesses, and I'm noticing this more and more, because I think we saw this with the Plover area. When that area blew up, you saw more and more businesses, whether it was in Plover or on the way to Plover. And I'm telling you, and you guys know this better than I do, Sand Valley starts blowing up over there, and what have we been seeing? We've been seeing little by little more and more businesses in the Rome area or on the way to Nakusa or this kind of path. Mm-hmm. You're seeing this growing in this building, this area, doing it stronger and stronger all the time. That's impressive to me. Not a lot of small communities, not a lot of rural towns can say that. When we combine forces with Rapids, Nakusa, Rome, Port Edwards, all of this, we're that much stronger, and we're seeing the evidence of that, so much so that we're, like you see, in Plover, the Portage area growing and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a coincidence that when we work together, when we do these things, all of our areas grow. A rising tide raises all boats. It's true. And we're seeing that with so many of these things kind of happening. It's great to see Avocados opening. That's really cool. And it's a great restaurant, good people, all that. Honestly, whatever business you said, I'd be saying this, because that's so cool to see. And as somebody, and you guys know this better than I do in most ways, as a transplant, I have an opportunity to really take these things in and see them from a third perspective. But as locals, I can't imagine what it means. I can't imagine how good it feels to see your community. You know this area is great. You've known it your whole lives. Other people are finally picking up on that. Other people are finally coming in on it and joining the team. Like, you know what? I want my business over here. These are good people.
Yeah.
And they support local businesses. They want to work with local businesses. That's where I want to open my shop. It's not a coincidence. It all comes together. It all adds up. Great opportunity here with earn a free culinary foundation certificate.
Yeah, so I mean, kind of piggybacking off what you just said, all the growth that's going on, we recognize, you know, workforce is somewhat of a challenge this day and age. And just as part of our workforce development initiatives, Visit Rome is offering 100% paid tuition at Mid-State Technical College, a couple of different avenues. The first one being a free culinary foundation certificate that would include tuition, books. We even help with transportation. It's a 10-credit certification, so just one fall semester. Classes start August 21st, so pretty quick, but there is still time if mm-hmm. you or anyone interested is looking for a shift in career or just beginning to start a career.
As a side note, this is my last day, everybody. I'm doing this. Like, this is too good of an opportunity. It's too good of an opportunity. I saw this, and I literally had to do a double take, because I love it, and it made my heart sing reading this. But then I'm like, well, wait a minute. Am I reading that right? Did I get this right? Did I get... No,
right.
It's actually, this is the actual thing. This is,
yeah.
How did this come about?
We started it last year with a grant from the state, the ARPA funds. Just recognizing there is a need for chefs, kitchen staff, prep staff,
mm-hmm.
in the Rome area with all the growth. So,
and a shout out to you guys, a shout out to MidState working together on this.
Yeah, it's been a great partnership.
Yeah, and with multiple things, not just this event, this particular thing, but this thing is pretty big. So much of the holdback for people, and MidState and us have talked about this before. Sometimes the holdup for people to take a class or whatever it might be is, I don't want to have to pay. Student debt and these kind of things. It's not just, it's covering everything, covering the books, covering this. Like, there's really no excuse. If you have ever had an interest in getting into the food industry, this is the most golden opportunity you've ever had.
Exactly.
It's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. I love radio. I love my job. I'm thinking about it. I got to think about this. It's a good opportunity.
Yeah. And
we do have 15 individuals signed up for the certification already. There is room for more. If anyone out there, again, is looking for a shift or beginning a career.
Lisa, is there any requirements that people should know about this going into it? Any kind of like anything that they should know before applying or that?
No, there is no strings attached. You don't have to be obligated to work in Rome. You don't have to pay it back for any reason. So it really is just a golden opportunity.
Yeah. You take this class too, and the hope and the thought is you stay local. You keep
Correct.
Your skills and your talents in state and mid-state, visit Rome, understand the return on investment with this, that there is you are investing in our community. You are investing in our youth. That's a local nonprofit doing that, everybody. Like, that's pretty dang cool. And we need more individuals to be doing that, to be seeing these kind of opportunities. I appreciate that you guys do. Mid-State did. That is really cool. I don't really think about this. Maybe I have to look at my resume. I have to look at my other. Anything else we wanted to make sure to touch on before we wrap up? We got a couple of minutes left.
I guess we could just talk about fall, some of our really cool fall events coming up. I'll let Jillian. We have a cool Halloween. Some Halloween plans, our big party in the town center,
and then our
new scarecrow walk. I'll let Jillian touch on those things.
Scarecrow walk. What is this? it's my old nickname, Scarecrow. But just call me Scarecrow. So I got my interest here and everything.
So through the entire month of October at the Lester Public Library of Rome, I believe Friends of the Library are putting on this event. They will be having kind of a scarecrow contest.
Cool.
And they'll have scarecrows lined up along the back.
Awesome.
So you kind of walk among your scarecrows.
Yeah.
It is still a little bit in the planning stages, so I don't have all the information just yet, but should turn out to be a really fun event, not only for the people putting it on, but just people to walk by, see scarecrows.
Yeah.
Hopefully they're not too scary, but
anything else about with events going on in fall airtime?
Yeah, and then October 28th, I believe, is the Kids Halloween Party in the Rome Town Center. That's put on by the Rome Makers. And it's a really nice gathering of a lot of Rome's local businesses, clubs, organizations, just coming together and having a lot of Halloween fun, not only at their booths, but with all these kids. Like, kids can go around and trick-or-treat to each booth. There will be a photo booth, so families can take pictures together.
It's a really a good time, a fun time. And I think nowadays, when you're a family looking for a safe environment to take the kids for Halloween that you know you can feel good doing and everything, this is that event. This is one of those great events for that. When I was a kid living in Rome, my sister and I, the year before, we got to trick-or-treat, and we went through my Aunt Nay's apartment complex. And we got to go like every apartment door and like getting candy and that. We came to Rome and there were three houses. Three houses. So we were so like sad, but my nana papa kept telling us, just wait, and then we go to this. And man, did we make out like bandits. Whoa, we did good. And it was so cool, too. I don't know if they still do it this way, but you kind of went around in a circle.
Yeah.
And that, so as you were walking around, you saw other kids' costumes. And as an adult getting to do this, I can't tell you how much fun it is to just watch the pageantry of it.
Mm-hmm.
I forget, and I think a lot of us do, as how proud you are of your costume when you're a little kid.
Yes.
And how this puffed out chest you are and everything. Yeah. It's so cool to see.
Exactly.
It's such a fun time. The candy's great. The environment, running into people you may not get to see all the time, it's good. But there's something about these kids and seeing them so happy and in a safe, fun environment getting to do that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good one, too. I certainly encourage people to check out the website, visitromewi.com. You can find out more about all this and other great things going on in the area. Because while there is so much we cover and talk about, there's still more there.
Yeah.
There's stuff that we don't even get a chance to cover going on in Rome, whether we're talking about a local business like a restaurant or a mini golf area, little things like that.
Right.
There is so much to take in the Rome area. Check out some of the most beautiful parts of Wisconsin in Rome. Thank you both so much for the time.
Yeah,
thank you, James.
Thank you.
I appreciate you. Again, visit romewi.com is the website. Check it out. That's where they can reach you guys if they have further questions or anything like that. Best where to send them. Visit RomeWI.com. We'll talk to you guys next month. Thanks for the time.
Thank you.
We'll have more Midday Magazine coming up right here on WFHR, locally grown radio.
Nakusa Port Edward State Bank is your locally owned, full-service community bank in Nakusa, Port Edwards, and the town of Rome. Since 1913, they've been helping area communities, businesses, and individuals with their financial needs and are happy to sponsor these What's Happening in Rome live discussions. Hope you enjoy the updates. Everyone at Nakusa Port Edward State Bank is proud to be part of these exciting developments in the town of Rome. Remember, when in Rome, bank at Nakusa Port Edward State Bank. Member Equal Housing Lender, FDIC Insured.
Locally grown, 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Did you know your favorite shows and hosts are active on social media too? Find Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or LinkedIn and be part of the conversation happening there. And go to our website, civicmedia.us, to learn more about the Civic Media Network.
For WFHR and WIRI, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know in Central Wisconsin. CDC Director Mandy Cohen visited a public health vaccination clinic in Madison yesterday as part of a multi-state trip. Her visit comes as vaccination rates for school children are dropping statewide. About 83% of kindergartners in Wisconsin were fully vaccinated for measles, pertussis, polio, and chickenpox in the 2021-22 school year. That is well below the national average of around 93%. Last year, about 5.4% of students filed waivers from vaccine requirements, a number that has nearly doubled in the past 20 years. The vast majority of last year's vaccination waivers were for personal conviction and not medical or religious reasons. Pre-register for the Southwood County Humane Society 5K9 Walk Run taking place on September 23rd by this Saturday, August 19th, and you'll receive a wag bag with a bunch of goodies and an event t-shirt. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Lows level off around 49 tonight under mainly clear skies, northwest winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Mainly sunny skies and calm again tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 78. Mainly clear tomorrow night, 59. Dry with temperatures a bit above average Saturday and Sunday and highs from the upper 80s to the low 90s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently it's 63.
Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this August 17th, 2023. We hope you're having a great day out there. We are right now because we got our good friend Jackie Carantini in studio from UW-Madison Extension. Good afternoon, Jackie.
Good afternoon.
How you doing?
I am great.
So good to have you here, Jackie. Always appreciate the time. I always learn and grow when you join us. And today, I think, I don't want to say you're taking us in a different direction, but to our previous conversations, it's a little different. But then if you take a step back, like, oh, this all ties together.
Yeah, absolutely. So I want to talk about a program. I offered it in the summer, and I had such a strong response that people said, well, what about, it's not just old people or people who are thinking about, you know, I'm really making my plans immediate, but what about younger people? I'm like, oh, so true. So we have a series called Planning Ahead. And in reality, it's for anyone over the age of 18. Mm-hmm. So I know I've told you I have a 18-year-old that's heading off to college. We went through this. Like, we went through these materials because it is important to make sure that I know if something happens to her, what her wishes are. You know, does she want to do an advance directive? What, you know, really, where does she stand on these things? And it's not a conversation we have with our young adults or middle age or even because we don't want to talk about death. Yeah. No one wants to talk about it. So it's one of those things that it hits everybody. No one, you know, gets out of this. So 18 and older, all the way up, the program I just had in the summer, I had several, actually had like five people that were in their 90s. And thinking about, well, I planned stuff 30 years ago. It doesn't need to change, you know, that kind of thing. So, yeah, so it's a series. It is 7 sessions. We will be doing it on Monday nights at McMillan. It's free of charge. You can come to one. You can come to them all. They do build off of each other. But we cover a lot of different topics. So the first is kind of, you know, how do you get started? So that's the biggest piece. As when I talk with folks, they're like, oh my gosh, this is so overwhelming. Like, I have nothing. I don't even know where to start, right? Or maybe they did do a will. And sometimes that's in people's heads. Like, okay, I took care of my house, my car, like, and my kids, you know, whatever. But what about the rest of it? Like, because the rest of it is a lot more internal. You got to be thinking, right? So I don't know. I've ever had this conversation with you. But do you want to have a funeral, James? Do you want to have, you know, people looking at you? Do you want to have a visitation? Would you rather have a celebration of life? You know, all these things. We don't talk about this. We don't ask. But when you do ask someone, they can be like super passionate about it. Like, and I've had this in my own family. Like, I absolutely do not want a funeral. I do not want someone looking at me. If someone didn't talk to me during life, they certainly don't want them ogling me, you know, in death. I'm like, oh, okay, time out. Like, holy smokes. I didn't know that. We, you know, because we've never had that conversation. So the nice thing about this particular series is we give you this fantastic workbook that has all these charts that you can actually like, okay, I did this. Oh, nope, not this. And so you can kind of line it up of what, where to start. Thinking about questions for yourself, some of those kind of probing questions. You know, where do you stand? And then it kind of takes you through, okay, you can do this piece, right? And we talk about, you know, planning your funeral. We talk about advance directives, so medical advance directives, financial advance directives. Budget. What do you want to get out of later life, right? So let's say I'm going to retire in a couple of years. And like, what do I want to do? What do I want my retirement to look like? Do I want to be able to travel? Do I want to go see my kids in, you know, North Carolina twice a year? Okay, then my budget needs to reflect that, right? Or, you know, do I want to? I just had this conversation with someone last week. They were talking about someone else in their family that was in a nursing home and or long-term care. I shouldn't even say nursing. It was a beautiful apartment because I saw it. So I'm like, oh my gosh, that's like super nice. And they're like, oh, but it's so many $1,000s a month and that's a waste. They worked all their life and then this going. And I said, hold on, time out. Like, what do you want to do with your money? Like, what is your goal?
Right.
Is your goal that you want to give it to your children or your grandchildren or the next generation and you want to give them as much as possible? Okay. Then no, you don't want to be. But if your goal is to take care of yourself and your loved ones, you know, till the end and make it comfortable, well, then that's what that money is for. Yeah. That's what that money is for. And don't feel bad about that. So I think that's one of those questions that you got to kind of ask yourself of where, what's my goal? What do I want to do? And so that's, again, introspective.
And it's a great way to start the classes, the sessions. Yep. It's a good way to start things off.
Thinking about like, what do you want, right? And then again, you know, we talk a lot about having conversations. So part of this is knowing what you feel. And so again, we have great, you know, charts and worksheets and kind of takes you through stuff. We talk about values. We talk about things like definition of what is fair. I think you and I have talked about this before. Fair is one of those words that, holy smokes, I could have 100 people and 100 people are going to give me a different definition for fair, right? But really important that when we're talking about anything related to, you know, end of life decisions, how, that you know what your definition of fair is and that you have that conversation with your family because many times they're not, you know, I can say it and you and I are thinking two different things.
Yeah. And to that point, Jackie, when it comes to having the conversation and piggybacking off of the uncomfortableness of it, there's nobody who walks into it with a big smile on their face and feeling jolly. And it can be really difficult sometimes to realize, well, as a kid, how do I talk to my parent about this? But as something that I've had to recently face is me talking to my kids about this. I hadn't really thought much about that, to be honest.
Yeah.
And it's in conversations with you that it has actually come up. And I'm talking with my oldest, Bria, and she's asking me about what kind of funeral I want. And I'd like a, you know, it's such a me answer. Like, well, I'd like a New Orleans style funeral if you could pull it off. If you can. If you can't, don't worry about it. It's fine. You know, all that kind of thing. Yeah. But in talking about it, she told me what she wanted.
Yeah.
And it wasn't, it just organically came about. I think a lot of this conversation happens that, or can happen that way.
Yeah.
You don't have to go into it with your fist clenched. No. It can often be a opening conversation, a very bonding conversation.
Yeah. And just open the door, right?
Yes.
Yeah. You know, just kind of in a prompt. It's funny. I have told folks for many, many years that I love the holidays for that reason, because it is organic. And people are like, oh, I'm not going to talk about death, you know, during Thanksgiving. And it's like, but you can have a conversation of, hey, you know, such and such, I saw that their family did this. What do you think about that? You know, would you be interested in something like that? We've never really talked about this. Like, well, you know, what do you want to do? You want to be cremated? Do you want to be buried? Do you want, you know, and that's just one piece of it. But again, it's conversations. I find, again, just I always use family examples, but in my own family, my dad's siblings all live in other parts of the state. And we've been really I will say shocked, but very interesting, found it very interesting that in the last couple of years, they've all put headstones in the cemetery where they grew up. They live 4 or 5 hours away, right?
Huh.
So why did they make that decision, right? You know, it's like, huh, I would have never thought you have done that, right? And then I literally just had a conversation this past week with one of my aunts, and she said, well, we always thought of it as coming home. Like, it's to us, it's coming home. And I'm like, oh, huh, I've never thought of it that way, right? Like, oh, that's such a powerful way of thinking about it. In my head, I'm thinking, well, your kids and your grandkids and your great-grandkids live in Milwaukee. They live in Chicago. Wouldn't you want to be close to them? So if they wanted to come in, nope. It's like coming home. And I'm like, oh, I love that,
that's
right?
Beautiful. That's beautiful. Yeah. That hit me.
Never thought of that,
Like that.
So again, it's these ideas of, you know, how do we prompt this thinking about, and there's many stages, right? So I've been talking about kind of a, you know, end of life, whether it's a funeral or a celebration. But then, like I said, there's also advanced directives. There's also, you know, just going into the hospital and what do you want your choices are. We always tell folks there's the 5 D's, right? So think about this when there's a 5 D. So a death. So not, you know, in your family might change the way, you know, you look at it, or you might have to change your materials because maybe that person was your power of attorney for healthcare, or they were something. If there's a new diagnosis, so sometimes it changes the way we think if we get a chronic condition or maybe even a terminal illness. So death, diagnosis, decade, those big birthdays, you know, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, pulling your papers back out, looking at them again. Decline, if you have a decline in health. So maybe I just can't do what I did before and now I'm thinking about things a little bit differently. And the last one is, I hate this word, but domicile, but house. So if you downsize your house, or you move into an apartment, or again, long-term care, or, you know, sell some things, some properties, or that kind of thing. Again, great time to pull the papers back out. Cool thing about, like, your advanced directives is that if you don't change it, you don't have to change it, right? So you can look at it, and if everything has stayed the same, it's good. It's fine.
Yeah.
Advanced directives, both for power of attorney for finance, power of attorney for healthcare, and then your wishes, they do not have to go through an attorney. So you can do them yourself. If you choose to, that's fine. But you literally can go to the state site or your healthcare system, and they'll give you a great packet. I just saw one from Aspirus this past week. It was fantastic. And the only thing is, it does have to be signed and witnessed by two people that are not related to you in any possible way. So that's so important to be legal in the state of Wisconsin. They have to be witnessed by two people that are not related to you. I just was working with someone last week that, again, at Aspirus, but that they brought in two social workers that signed and witnessed for the family. And I'm like, oh, that's great, right? Super cool if you want to get it done right then and there. I'll go back to that example a couple times because it was very eye-opening for me, because I feel like I teach this, I try to breathe this, right? Like, I try to tell people, and I'm pretty fluent in it. But then as you experience it it with people, you're like, oh, okay. So this particular family, they had their papers filled out. They had just reviewed these, I think, early spring, so maybe May or June. So everything was up to date. And then a couple family members had a decline in health. So again, we're in some long-term care, and that affected everyone else without even knowing it. So then someone does end up in the hospital, and all of a sudden, the healthcare team, and multiple. So they ask you this every time you go into the ER, you get admitted to the hospital, you change rooms. They keep asking you, okay, if you're James, if your heart stops, do you want someone to come in? And all of a sudden, this person is going, no, I don't. And everybody's like, okay, what? We just did these papers. What? Whatever. And they go with what the person says. So all of a sudden, this person now is a DNR. They slap a DNR bracelet on the person, and everyone else is like, what's happening? So then, again, have conversations. Okay, you filled out these papers, in June. You did not say you were a DNR. Such and such, and they're talking about other people in their family. I don't want to end up in long-term care. I don't want to end up, sitting in a wheelchair and I can't lift my head. Okay, that's great. But that's not what we're talking about. They're saying, you choke on your roast beef right now that you're eating for supper, and they will not restart your heart. Oh, that's not what I said. Right. I'm like, oh, that is what you said. So the other part of this is that's why it's so important to fill these things out ahead of time. And again, have them filed with your healthcare systems, because if you are under duress, you're not thinking clearly. Right. This isn't a good time. You might still be mentally with it, but they might ask you that, and you might go, oh, no, I don't. It's like, holy smokes, you just made yourself a DNR. Did you want to be a DNR? No. They did it, right? So it's like, holy. So again, for me, it was this kind of awakening of, I can say this, and we can go through this, and you can fill out that book, and you can file your papers. But again, in the end, it does come down to what you say. And if you're under duress, they take what you say verbatim. So it's really important. That, again, that's why it's important to have these conversations with your family members, so they can do that, be that check and go, okay, I saw you just filled this stuff out a couple months ago. Yeah. What has happened? I'm not disagreeing with you. Right. Like, if you're a DNR, you're a DNR. That's fine. Mm-hmm. But what has changed in the last 2 months that you went from this to this? And again, it's that conversation. Mm-hmm. So then you can have this conversation, because I think this is also really important as we have any of these conversations or go through any of these decisions. That there's no judgment.
No.
There's no judgment here. You can feel what you want, and you can change your mind tomorrow.
Yeah.
So, like I said, if you don't change anything, you leave it. If you do change it, you just fill out a new paperwork. And that's fine. It's super easy. It doesn't cost anything. It's great.
Life is entropy. It is crazy. You don't know what's going to happen 2 minutes from now. The more you can plan, the more you can prepare for, the less you have to worry when entropy happens.
Yes.
And it's also, I think, a big part of life. Most people that are in this position are parents. Yep. And I think one of the things you realize, if you're any good at it, is that it ain't about you.
Right.
Your life stopped being about you the moment that happened. Yeah. You're so important. You need to focus on you. You and I have talked about this, Jackie, about taking care of your own backyard and stuff. But this is about being a good parent. This is about taking care of the kids. Right. And I think one of the most heartbreaking things I see when there is a loss of life in a family is it's not the loss of life as it is what happens to that family afterwards.
Right.
When you don't have these estate planning things lined up and some of this other stuff, it creates... You're already dealing with a lot of emotions and a lot of hurt, and you're already in the process of the grieving process. Throwing this monkey wrench in there doesn't help anybody. The more you can prepare and plan these things, the more that, hey, let them grieve, let them hurt, let them feel their feelings, and at least they don't have to worry about this. At least, wow, mom and dad at least took care of this. Yeah. It hurts losing them, but at least it also isn't compounded by my brother and sister and I are fighting because this wasn't taken care of or something like that.
I have a quote in this series that I'm not going to get it verbatim, but for lack of a better word, it says what you just said. The greatest gift you can give your family is having prepared.
Yeah.
And it's this idea exactly of what you said. Anything that you have done that you can share your wishes to prevent families, you're right. So there's, I don't have recent statistics from since COVID, but pre-COVID, there was some really strong statistics on the number one reason that families do not talk is how something went down when a loved one passed. And it can be the will, it could be who took care of them or, you know, what decisions that were made in the hospital. It can be, you know, even non-title property distribution, who got grandma's dishes. Like, all of this stuff is what, because people are emotionally tied to it. Mm-hmm. And you don't know what they're emotionally tied to.
Yeah.
So some people, it is physically the person. Some people, it's a memory. Some people, it's an item that a memory is attached to. Mm-hmm. It's very powerful. And as you said, grief is so powerful. We talk about grief in one of our modules too, and that it hits you, it blindsides you right out of nowhere, and you don't know that seeing this little yellow teacup is going to trigger everything, and you know, like, holy smokes. So again, greatest gift is anything that you can have done. And it's interesting, I haven't talked about this yet today, but there's also this cultural piece to it, right? So many cultures, even talking about death is taboo. Mm-hmm. It's not something we do. Or, you know, some cultures will say, well, it's the oldest son. Like, they will just take care of it. Okay. And that's fine. But again, they still have to make all these decisions.
Right.
And is everyone else going to be okay? And they're guessing what you wanted or you don't want.
Yeah.
Right. So it's this part of, and I like that you brought up too, it's how do you make it easier for them so that they can grieve and they can focus on that piece of it, right? I probably told the story before, but a very dear friend of ours, this woman had breast cancer for over 5 years. And towards the end, she knew that it was towards the end, right? And she was at home until the end. And I kept asking, you know, okay, have you talked about this? Like, as a family, do you guys know what she wants? Blah, blah, blah. And they kept going, no one wants to talk about it. Like, it just, you can't say it, you know, you can't bring anything up, you know, blah, blah, blah. Like, okay. And literally, as the ambulance came to the farm on the last day and she was wheeling out, she called her daughter-in-law over and went like this and said, it's all taken care of. It's in my sock drawer. And she literally had everything planned out, right down to the music at the funeral, the flowers that she wanted. She wrote her own obituary. She had all of her papers, because she did the work for the farm, all the paperwork, what the passwords were to her, you know, computer, blah, blah, blah. Didn't tell anybody, and they didn't want to talk about it because they wanted to spend as much time with her and in the present and enjoy that. But she took it upon herself to make sure that it was all taken care of. And literally, last couple of breaths said, here it is. This is where it's at. It's ready to go. Now, does that work for everybody? No. And I'm not saying that's ideal either. But again, the important key here is there's no right or wrong way for any of this. Right. And I will say this in each one of these sessions, right? So whether we're talking about, you know, budgeting and what do you want, we're talking about, again, funeral planning or end of life, your end of life decisions, you know, towards long-term care, or do you want any of the pieces with that, or grieving, or any of this, there's no right or wrong. I say that over and over. Like, I'm going to give you just what are the options and ways to kind of make your drudge your way through this, because it's heavy. It's heavy stuff.
Yeah.
All of this is heavy stuff. That's the other part of this is what we have heard so far in the last couple of years with this, because it's a new curriculum. It's only been out about 2 years, is that people say, I love that I can take it at my own pace. Right?
Yeah.
So I can start this and I can look at it, but it might take me, you know, 6 months to make it through this component of it. There's no right or wrong here.
No.
There isn't. So that's super cool too, that people are allowed. And some of it's also this, I really need this piece. You know, I really want to talk about advanced directives, because I know that every time I go to the doctor, they hit me with it as soon as I'm trying to check in, but I really don't know what it is, right? You know, or, during COVID, you know, we had some really good friends that stuff happened in the hospital and that's not what they wanted, and they were really upset with how it went down. Yep. Because you didn't have your advance directive filled out, right? So that was like a red flag for them. Oh, I need to fill this out. But what does that really mean, or how does it? In Wisconsin, we are super lucky. Those advance directives come right off the DHS site. They are literally a yes or a no. Mm-hmm. They're so sweet. Like, they're just
very simple.
Yep, they're easy to fill out. So even though it's daunting to think about the decision, to actually fill it out, it's fantastic. It's, like, super easy. So
the last 2 weeks, both my parents have had hip surgery. Last week, my dad. This past Monday, my mom. Which, is a side note, as foolish romantics, that's a little taken a little too far. You don't have to get matching hip surgeries. But because of this, you know, my mother lost her mother after a surgery.
Yeah.
It weighs heavy on her. So this topic comes up. We get talking about this. We have a very dark, sarcastic sense of humor in our family. So talking about death isn't too big for us. And my mother and I got talking about this, and when it comes to, like, Jewish families and how it was so embedded in the culture to talk about this stuff. It's not taboo in that culture to talk, because you had to with the history that there.
Right.
So we get talking about it, and before I realize, and we've had this conversation multiple times before, we get halfway through and I realize, wait a minute, I never heard that before. And we were just kind of casually doing this just to make my mom feel a little bit better.
You know,
she's dotting her I's, crossing her T's, and here something comes up that we hadn't even talked about, and we're very comfortable talking about this subject more than most. So even for us, there's gray area that maybe you didn't think of that comes up. My sister and I had something as well a couple of weeks ago. She's bopping around. My mom has done a really good job of marking things and all that for us. She sees this knickknack. Man, I've lived this since I was a kid. Like, you too? I wanted that. Like, we had that discussion, and it was fun. We were okay with it, but even planners like us have these things come up.
Yes, and it does, and it changes. So that's a great example of those 5 D's. Like, you hit 3 of them right there, because it does make you think about things from a different perspective. So it is important that you do have those conversations. I think the other thing I haven't said today that's really important on a lot of this is, especially with the advance directives piece, that Wisconsin is not a next of kin state.
Yes.
And I know you and I have talked about this before, so I'll say that one more time. Wisconsin is not a next of kin state. So what that means is that if something does happen to you and you go into the emergency room or any healthcare system, if you do not have the advance directive filled out, by law, they are not required to ask a family member about decisions. It's the medical team's responsibility. Mm-hmm. Now, before you go, no, that's not right. Yes, most healthcare systems will ask the family, and they will have that conversation, but by law, they are not required to.
Right.
So that's where, when I said during COVID, stuff happened. The families were like, oh, it's not, you know, we didn't want that, you know, blah, blah, blah. But if you didn't have your advance directives filled out, the medical teams were making decisions super fast in the best interest, and they were, you know, choosing what they wanted. And it might not have been what the family wanted, or, but that's the law. So that's why, again, it's so important to fill out those papers, file them, share them with your family members, file them with your healthcare systems. And they will check for you when you check in to see if you have one on file. You can ask that. So it's great. So
I think one of the other things that I've heard from these classes that I hear people talk about is, I don't know if it's something that's set in the notes for you to do, but it comes up either organically or planned, ways to bring this conversation up and ways to get into this conversation come up. And even talking to other people that are taking the class, even it can be good conversations that you don't know what can come up of.
Oh, yeah. So that's excellent. A great, excellent point, too. So these are, let's talk about when this is. So this particular series will be starting mid-September. So they're on Monday nights. So the first one is Monday, September 18th, 6 to 7 p.m. at McMillan. Now, I say 6 to 7 p.m., and that is the actual class. Generally, we stay 6 to 7:30, and maybe even 5:30 to 7:30 because of what you just said. I did a pilot here in town last spring, and I asked the whole group, it happened to be all ladies in that group, and I said, well, what was your favorite part? And they said, well, part two. And I'm like, part two? Like, week two? Lesson two? Module two? Like, what do you mean part two? And they said, oh, no. When we were done with the class and then we sat and talked for a half an hour, that was my favorite part. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. Because of what you just said. Because everyone thinks that it's just them. Everyone thinks, it's just me. I'm going through this. And then when you can hear someone else's story or their example, and you realize, huh, everyone goes through this. Every single person. And then it makes you feel normal. And then I can literally physically see people go, As someone else shares their example.
Yeah.
So it's great. So again, 6 to 7 p.m., yeah, that extra half an hour, you don't have to stay, but that is just kind of questions and answers, sharing stories. So free of charge, no cost. Call the extension office if you want to register. So that is 715-421-8437. Again, 421-8437. Free of charge is 7 weeks, Monday nights. But if you just want to come for advanced directives, you can just come for that. So it works.
You're so good at this. God, I love talking to you, Jackie. Thank you for the time and everything you do in our community. We'll talk soon. Take care.
Thanks.
Well, more Midday Magazine for you tomorrow right here at WFHR, locally grown radio.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. Maui's Emergency Management Administrator has been fired after refusing to activate warning sirens the night deadly wildfires spread.
Had we sounded the siren that night, we're afraid that people would have gone Malka. And if that was the case, then they would have gone into the fire.
The fires have killed 111 people. Survivor Christina Lee Garrido says she was almost one of them.
We jumped into the pool and stayed there, contacted EMS through the SOS system on our iPhone, and they told us to wait. They said, you're in the safest place right now. Don't move. We've pinged you.
CBS's Donya Backus is there and says most of the island is now ash.
The Lahaina bypass road is now open so residents can drive home.
It's hard. It's hard to take in, you know, just seeing all this devastation.
Makes me cry. Over 20 years I staying in my house.
In Canada, residents are now scrambling to escape their own fires.
Conditions will be smoky and residents should drive with caution and care.
That's Yellowknife Mayor Rebecca Alty. She wants people out by tomorrow afternoon. A woman in Texas has been arrested for threatening to kill the judge on one of former President Trump's